So it's like a building of character qualities, and they and these character qualities culminate in the quality of charity or love, agape love, unselfish, unconditional love. Now, recently, I was going through my devotions, and I'm using these booklets that Pastor has provided, and I really want to recommend, if you're not doing this, go ahead and start doing this. It's such a blessing to read those scriptures and then to do make the application as the Lord brings things to mind. But he brought to mind a verse that that goes together with this one. And it's like this one ends with love and the other one starts with love. And because it kind of implies that even though this build-up culminates with love, there's something even beyond love. Let me read another verse to you. It's 1 John 4:18. And that says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." So it's saying that the only way that I can fear is my love has not been perfected. Right? So that's kind of a step beyond love. Courage, it's a step beyond love. So that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about fear tonight. So let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that your word is alive and that the Holy Spirit is here with us, reminding us and guiding us into all truth. And Lord, thank you that that I'm not on my own up here, but that you're with me. And Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here, and we thank you for your word, the Bible. And we pray, God, that you'd apply to our hearts tonight and strengthen our hearts and help us to win the victory over fear. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about fear. So let me give you a little picture here. You may not have seen this before, but this is a monument in England, and it's called the Shot at Dawn Monument. And it's dedicated to the 306 British soldiers that were executed in World War I because they were deserters. So they basically succumbed to fear, and they paid the price. They were punished for that. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out is because over the years, you know, there have been family members of these soldiers that had suffered a lot. I mean, immediately after this happened in World War II, the families would be ostracized, because they would be families of a coward, of a deserter. And they would not get any benefits from their husbands or father being in the military. They would just be cut off. And so over time, they were thinking, well, but what if these young men, they were shell-shocked, post-traumatic stress disorder, and all these things. And so over time, in the year 2006, the British government pardoned these men and allowed this monument to be built. But I'm saying this to illustrate how in our society the concept of fear has kind of changed from what it was before. And so nowadays in America, even though I think it's still on the books, I don't think anybody would be executed, or in Britain, would be executed for deserting. I mean, still a punishment involved with that, but not the capital punishment. But we got to be careful, because if we pay attention to society, we follow society, then we start thinking that fear and cowardice really is not really a character problem or a sin, but it's rather, you know, it's a syndrome or a disorder. Well, according to the Bible, that's not true. fear is a sin. And so let me go to the first verse that I have up here. The Bible says about fear. And so first we're going to talk about the effect of fear. So the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the fearful, I included that. And when you first read that, you go, oh man, it's kind of harsh. But being fearful, really? Okay. Well, this is if you're lost. So if you're saved and you've succumbed to fear, you're not going to the lake of fire because Jesus has paid for that sin in your life. But if you have not received Jesus as your Savior, then that would be definitely a reason to go to hell among many others. So, but what if you're saved? Let's skip that one for now. Oh, yeah. I didn't put all the verses up here because that's quite a few. So let's go on. So what are the effects of fear? So number one, punishment. Here, punishment in hell for those that are lost. But also a loss of freedom. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. So a snare is a trap. And if you're caught in a trap, then you cannot move about freely. Then you're stuck and you can't do what God wants you to do. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Also, it leads to a breaking of fellowship with God. Now, the first time fear appeared in the world, everybody knows this, knows a little bit about the Bible, is after the fall. Genesis 3:10 says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, this is Adam speaking to God after he had taken of the fruit that he was not supposed to eat. He was fearful, and because his fellowship with God was broken, actually his relationship with God was broken. But also, so it leads to punishment, loss of freedom, breaking of fellowship with God, but also leads to a loss of opportunities and of rewards. Remember the parable of the talents? There was three servants, and they all got some talents to take care of while the master was gone. And the two good servants, they traded and they brought back more. But the third one, when he was confronted, he said in Matthew 25:25, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So that servant lost out. He was rebuked, and he lost his reward. He lost the opportunity to do something for the Lord. So the Bible is full with people that acted on fear. Let me give you a few examples. Now there's Abraham and Sarah. Well, Abraham was the one, they went down to Egypt, and Abraham was afraid that they were going to kill him because of his wife Sarah. And so he lied, and he told the people that Sarah was actually his sister. And he did that not just once, but twice. Once in Egypt and once in Gerar. His son Isaac did the same thing with his wife Rebekah in Gerar. Think of another example is Aaron. When Moses was gone up into the mountain, and the people came to him and brought all their gold and said, hey, let's melt this together to make us an idol. And when Moses confronted him, Aaron said, oh, I was afraid of the people. That's why I did it. Think of another example, the 10 spies. You know, they went into the promised land to spy out the land. and they saw the giants, they saw the walled cities, and even though there was so much riches in the land, they came back and said, we can't do it. There's no way we can't do it. They were fearful. And another great example is the story of David and Goliath. Now, not David and Goliath, but we should say the story of Israel and Goliath. Because what happened before David showed up? There was I can't remember the number, but thousands of Israelite soldiers that were on one side of the mountain or the valley, and Philistines were on the other side of the valley. And every day for 40 days, Goliath would come down and shout, I defy the armies of Israel, and if anybody comes to fight me, then we can have it out. And all the soldiers, including Saul, who was almost as tall as Goliath, were fearful, and they would not do anything about this until David came. But they were afraid. They did not go ahead and trust the Lord to defeat this giant. And then one more example here. Peter, when he was confronted by a girl in the courtyard where Jesus was being tried, and he said, no, I don't know Jesus, out of fear. He did it out of fear. And he was so confident that he was going to go to the death with Jesus. But he could not stand up to the fear. All right, I have one more example. And when I give you this example, when I read this example, you're going to say, oh no, but that's different. And it is. But let's find out what's different about it. So here's the last example. Luke 22:41. Let me put this up here. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Now, of course, this was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, shortly before the crucifixion, and he was praying, he was asking God to take away the crucifixion. If there was any other way to save mankind, any other way that God could think of to bring salvation to mankind, is there not another way? Now, you're going to say, yeah, that's different. Now, how is it different? Well, let's look at, we're talking about fear, right? And so we have to really be clear on what fear means and what it does not mean. And actually, the meaning of fear, I believe, has changed since the Bible was translated in English and today. So let's look at the definition of fear. So fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. All right? So that's fear. But that's not when the Bible talks about fear, usually talks about more than that. Now, all these examples that I gave, all the people, including Jesus, had that feeling. But only Jesus was not controlled by that feeling. All the others acted on that feeling. And so a better word for what they actually did was what? Can anybody tell me? What is the word for that? When you act on your fear, or when you're controlled by your fear. It's cowardice. That's kind of an ugly word. I couldn't find a better word for this. But that's really what it is. And here's the definition. It's a trait wherein excessive fear prevents an individual from taking a risk or facing danger. It is the opposite of courage, as the label cowardice indicates a failure of character in the face of a challenge. So I guess, you know, maybe to be precise here, cowardice is really talking about a character quality, a character trait. That's what it says here. So, an individual act of cowardice does not necessarily make one a coward. I guess that's a way to say that. But anyway, so you know, if we think about this individual, that first verse that I read to you, Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and all those that are going to the lake of fire, almost all of the modern translations translate that as the cowardly. Not the fearful, but the cowardly. So was Christ afraid of the cross? No, you don't think so? Did Christ have the feeling of fear before he went, or when he was in the garden? There's yeses and noes. That's kind of how the commentaries are. I read commentaries that say no, Jesus was not afraid, and others say yes, Jesus was afraid. But let me give you some verses here that might help us to understand. So here, Hebrews 5:7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Now don't concentrate on that last word, he feared, because that refers to the fear of God. But look at the words that are in the middle of the verse. He offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Okay, well, you could look at this different ways, but to me this sounds a lot like fear. But what really nails it in my mind, now you might differ with me, but what nails it in my mind is the next verse. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Okay. So, what are some of the major sins that we are tempted to? Well, pride, lying, dishonoring God, fear. Is anybody in here that has not been tempted with fear, with this feeling? That feeling of fear is a temptation. It's a temptation to act cowardly. And it says here that Jesus was tempted in all points. Do you think he was not tempted with fear? Was he not tempted with that feeling that made him sweat drops of blood? And strong cryings. I believe that Jesus was fearful. He was a man. He was a real man. I mean, how can we look to him in with our fears if he doesn't even know what fear is? Oh, I'm convinced that Jesus feared. It's just the difference is he did it without sin. He feared without sin. When he feared, he went to the Father. That's what we should do. But before I get ahead of myself, there's another example of somebody who feared without sinning. And it was Paul. In 1 Corinthians 2:3, it says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. So here was Paul. He was fearful when he was facing the Corinthians. But you know what? He was trembling because he was with them. If he had given in to his fear, he wouldn't have gone to Corinth. But he overcame, he disregarded his fear, he went, and then he was trembling like I'm trembling right now. And he had much fear, but he did it anyway. But now here's the question, and here's how we can find victory over fear. Now, how did Jesus fight this temptation? How did Jesus overcome this temptation? Well, you could say, well, he was God, so he just did it. Well, there is much more to it than that. Well, first of all, let's see if we can go back to this verse. Yeah. First of all, look at this, and I mentioned before that the last verse says, and the last part it says, and was heard in that he feared. So God heard his prayers, and I believe what that means, that God sent the angel to minister to him. God carried him through. He was about to die from this fear. But the angel came and ministered unto him in response to his prayer. And he carried him through so he was able to keep on going. So, but it says at the very end, he was heard in that he feared. God heard him because he was surrendered to the Father. God heard him because he was submitted, because he feared God. So that's the first way that we can win the victory over fear. We need to have a fear of the Lord. If we have the fear of the Lord, the fear of man will diminish. The more we fear God, the less we fear man. So that's point number one, fear of God. And then, another way that Jesus overcame this fear is by hope. He was looking past the suffering. And that's what hope is. Hope is a confident expectation of something very good happening. Well, here, let me read one of the two verses that I have written here. I have it up here. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here it says that Jesus endured the cross because he was looking forward to the joy that he was going to receive past the cross. The joy of receiving his family to himself. The joy of widening the circle of God's love to all mankind. Well, anyway, those that would receive him. So he looked forward to that. And we can look forward in hope. There's many verses about that. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If we think about heaven, and we think about how it's eternal, and there will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more fear, then we can go past that fear that we're feeling at the moment. Because we know there's a great reward at the other end. That's hope. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Or Hebrews 11:25-26. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That was Moses. Okay. And then Hebrews 11:35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So these people were looking past the fear, past the suffering. And that's what we also can do. We can look at the blessing. Whenever there's something we have to do, or we ought to do, to step out in faith, there's always a great blessing when you've done it. When you've overcome that fear and you've won the victory, that's so much better than shrinking in fear and then just thinking, oh, I should have done it. I wish I had done this. Now I missed my opportunity. Oh, man. Well, there is hope. That's one way that Jesus overcame this fear. But he also overcame fear by faith. And it's so good, this song that Brother Mike picked out today. It's just perfect. Trust and obey. All right. Faith. Here. Philippians 2:8. This is Jesus. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus went to the cross because he was obedient. Also, coming back to the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:39 says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" Again, Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father, and that's how he was able to overcome the fear. Now, conversely, the Bible says that fear comes from unbelief. You know, we talked about the spies and the Israelites. They didn't go into the promised land. And Hebrews chapter 3 explains what was behind that. It says in verse 19, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." So they were fearful and they were cowardly because they did not believe the promise of God. And then Mark 4:40, after the storm in the boat, "And he said unto them, 'Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?'" Here is clearly spelled out that a lack of faith leads to fear. And so Jesus overcame his fear by faith. Now you're saying, well, you've not really given a verse where it says Jesus had faith. Well, not directly, but it says that Jesus had obedience. Jesus obeyed. And that's why that song fits so well, "Trust and Obey." Because faith and obedience are really two sides of the same coin. You know, the faith is the side of the coin that God sees. God sees the faith. But man sees the other side of that coin, which is works. And that's why it says in James, it says, "I show you my faith by my works." So I show you, I prove that I have this side of the coin because you can see this side of the coin. Now, these are two sides of the coin, but what is the coin itself? What's the coin itself? Actually, hold that thought. I forgot something. When you have faith, when you have faith and you can see things that those that don't have faith cannot see it. Now, this may not be very clear, but this is the story of when Elisha always told the Israelite army where I think the Assyrians were hiding out. Or where they were coming from. And so the Assyrians tried to get Elisha, and he had the servant, I think Gehazi was his name, I think. And so they were surrounded by the Assyrian army. And Elisha went out, Gehazi went out just to take a fresh breath of fresh air in the morning. And he saw the soldiers of the Assyrian army. And he got very fearful. But then Elisha came out and prayed that God would open Gehazi's eyes so he would see the armies of God that were much more numerous than the armies of the Assyrians. So what this is showing is that when we have faith, then we can see the spiritual reality and not just the physical reality. The Israelites, when they were facing Goliath, they just saw the giant, that 9-foot giant that none of them could handle. But David, he saw God in the picture that they didn't see. But because David saw God in the picture, that little guy who was even too small to wear Saul's armor was able to defeat the giant. Okay. So, what is the coin? So one side is faith, the other side is obedience or works. What is the coin itself? Well, let me give you a verse. "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." So, that coin, it's like God, when you get saved, God comes in, and He lives His life. And He is the one that has faith on one side, and obedience on the other side. And if He lives His life in us, then we have the same. So it's Jesus Himself that through His love enables us to be faithful and obedient. So, but this brings us to our last point by which Jesus overcame His fear. So we had the fear of God, then we had hope, then we had faith, and now love. Love overcomes fear. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Now, which love is that talking about? What love is that talking about? Well, it doesn't really say. Who said something? Agape, yeah, it's that kind of love. But whose love? Well, you could say it's the love of God for us. The love of God casts out fear in us, right? But our love for God casts out fear. Now, Jesus loved the Father, and out of this love, He surrendered to Him. So it was the love for God that enabled Jesus to overcome His fear. And if we love God, then we will also be willing to give ourselves for the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Where Jesus had the same Spirit, and He gave Himself. Jesus gave Himself out of love. That's what motivated Him. So it's that love that casts out fear. So the love of God for us casts out fear. Our love for God casts out fear. But our love for other people also casts out fear. Now, for example, if I meet somebody and God tells me, "Tell them about Jesus," and my first reaction immediately is, "Oh, I can't do that." But if I shrink and if I don't do it, well, then I give in to my fear, and it shows that I don't love that person, because I don't care if they go to hell or not. But if I truly love that person, then I would overcome my fear and not care if they laugh at me or do whatever to me. But I will tell them, "You need to know about Jesus." Now, I fail in this many times, all the time. But, and this is where we want to come back to 2 Peter chapter 1. That is, that how do we win the victory in the long run? Well, I can promise you one thing. You will never lose that feeling of fear in those situations that you're afraid of. Or it may get less, I don't know. But that feeling is part of your flesh. And until you die, it's going to be with you. And that's just the temptation. That's how it is. But I believe that as Jesus grows in us, our faith grows, then all these things grow. Hope, the fear of God grows. Hope in heaven grows. Faith, our faith grows. And our love grows. And as these things grow, our fear goes. Our fear gets less of a hold of us, has less of a hold of us, and we become more inclined to say, "Oh, I don't care about this fear. I'm going to do it anyway." And so this is kind of a balance between what God is doing, because it's God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So God is in charge. God says, He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that's what God has done. But back in 2 Peter chapter 1, there's something that we have to do. And that is, we have to add to our faith virtue. We have to add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So that means that when we have the opportunity, when God tries us, that we seek Him for Him to give us the strength, the power to overcome the fear. It's a matter of letting Him, you know, like, let me go back to this verse. Letting Him dwell in us and have more and more control of us. The more control He has of us, the less fear will control us. And so it's very important to do these regular disciplines that we can all do, whether we are fearful or not. We can all read the Bible. We can all pray every day. We can all go to church. We can all have communion with other believers. We can confess our sins. We can forgive the sins of others by the grace of God. And he says, if you go on in that verse, in that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's really not we don't have to overcome this fear by ourselves. We have to seek the Lord, and he pushes it to the side, and he sees, he lets us see something better than the fear. So let's pray.